Anthropic just released its most powerful model yet to the public. Same one from a few months ago, or almost the same one from a few months ago, that found holes in Linux and FFmpeg. They split it in two, one for us and one for the big guns. After June 22nd, even if you want to keep using the new model, Fable, you got to pay per token. That's big money. Now, this is all bad, but it is not the worst part of the story. We will get into that in a second. This is Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Axis of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Okay, Anthropic at it again. This I consider this a rug pull. I got to be honest. You give the details in the summary like always, but I got to tell you, I consider this rug pull, and I think this is a big deal. And I also think there's a hidden agenda here.
Did you think we were going to get access to Mythos 5?
I don't really care about Mythos 5, but like I've seen the product degrade over time. When like I'm lucky I don't use it for super complex tasks. I use it for things that I can automate and make easier for me. But I know a lot of people who don't use it for that purpose, who are talking about overall product degradation. And now it's not that I care to get Mythos or even Fable, to be honest. I have Fable. I've tried it. It's not that good. And it burns through tokens like crazy. But my problem isn't with that. It's with the other stuff that's happening alongside of it. And I feel like Anthropic is trying to bury the lead. But anyway, tell me about this story here.
Fable 5. Like, let's go. The name, it's like a JRPG.
Sad.
Right? Like, doesn't it just remind you of some 90s JRPG that I...
Fable 6 is coming out, and it's like DEI. Right? It's like DEI destroyed. Worse than God of War, my beloved.
Well, so this Fable 5 stuff is kind of... I mean, it is really based off the Mythos 5 platform or product that they're offering with a slight spin. And we talked about the Mythos 5 in the past, that is supposed to help secure software like operating systems, where they could do some deep analysis in the kernel level, some complex software, and it just was able to just go through these massive in-depth analysis and to try to find vulnerabilities that human coders just missed through the years, the decades. You know, some of these flaws have been out in the wild for quite some time, but whatever, that's supposed to be some really advanced stuff. So the question is, how does Fable 5 and Mythos 5 differ? Because two different names, two different products, right? The real difference is the safe boundaries that they're putting in for the product. And Fable 5 is for commercial use. People can use it. You're using it. Somebody could try to do whatever they want with it. But if you're doing anything which is flagged a high-risk category, like making cybersecurity exploits, doing chemistry weapon designs, you're going to get shooted down to the Claude Opus 4.8. So if you go in there and you start doing stuff that is deemed to be a security problem, you're going to use the lesser product that's available to you. And Anthropic is saying that less than 5% of all requests, all sessions, end up in the downgraded Opus 4.8. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but it seems to me a lot of people are using this in a way that maybe shouldn't be used. But for those that are privileged enough to use the Mythos 5, those restrictions don't apply. You want to build a chemical weapon? By all means, here you go. Here's how to do it, and figure out what you're going to do with it. Hopefully you don't bomb Anthropic at the same time. But Mythos 5, it's allowed for all. So people that use that, you know, the people that are part of the government or dealing with the government, they have a coordination with the U.S. government. It's this highly vetted sandbox. Only a select few are able to get access to it. Roughly around 200,000 defense organizations, critical infrastructure operations, crap like that. But as for Fable 5, it's accessible by anybody through the Claude API. And you could also use the Amazon Bedrock, Google Cloud, and standard Claude subscription tiers, so the Pro, the Max, and the Team. And so what's this supposed to do? It's supposed to allow for a broad stream approach where people could use this on a mainstream enterprise level for automation. You could do some advanced coding, crap like that. So they're trying to appeal to that. With all this being said, don't forget we have the upcoming IPO, at least the aspirations for that. So with Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5 being launched in a not too distant past, the IPO that's coming out later this year might be a little bit more lucrative because they're trying to showcase that, well, at least trying to pump their valuation. A new revenue stream, Fable 5 gives them some new access to that. So, for instance, you're talking about the tokens. The pricing model for Fable 5, it's $10 per million input tokens or $50 per million output tokens. And that's double the cost of the Claude Opus 4.8. What this really does mean is a casual user, it could last a few weeks. Somebody that's more in depth, really doing a lot of stuff with it, could be exhausted in a day, maybe in a few hours. So I'm tying this Fable 5 release. It seems to me with the IPO, there's a connection here. They're trying to do whatever they can to pump up their evaluation, and it makes sense. They want to make money. Let's see what happens.
I'll tell you, the connection is actually deeper than that, and it's more troubling than that. Hidden in this nest of releases and commentary on YouTube, every moron on this stupid platform, this godforsaken wasteland of clickbait garbage, talking about how it's 86 better at doing complex coding tasks. It's 68% better at coding outputs. These people are stupid and they're useful idiots. Do you know what the big story here is? The big story is that along with kicking you down to Opus 4.8, do you know what else Anthropic is going to start doing when it decides that you're just going a little too far with the questions? It's going to KYC you. And you cannot be KYCing people based on what you decide is an acceptable query to the bot. Not at this moment in time when governments are all over average people in terms of privacy, in terms of the use of these tools, in terms of what is acceptable speech, in terms of what is acceptable research. And as we discussed on this show, even what is acceptable data to share. This is a nightmare for privacy, and it is linked to the IPO. And the stock market gurus and investors and people who want to buy this thing are probably saying to Anthropic, look, we can't risk a 20% down day because somebody who commits a terrorist attack has an account with Claude or Anthropic or one of these other silos that allows you to use the service through the API key. Can't afford it. You got to be KYCing people. That 5% number is going to be way bigger than 5% over time. It's never been more important to run things locally on your machine as much as possible. What does that mean? It doesn't mean necessarily running, you know, frontier model level stuff, but how about being able to parse like crime statistics, which a guy just went to jail for, you know, a few weeks ago, or was arrested for a few weeks ago in Europe? How about being able to post stuff about immigrant numbers, which obviously is a huge topic at the moment? How about being able to talk about whether or not the economy is in a recession? You know, does the government of Canada think that the economy is in a recession? Certainly not based on its messaging, certainly not based on the messaging of the institutions and media outlets that carry water for them. Are you going to be allowed to look that up? Share it online, tweet it. You're going down a dark path here, and people, for the love of God, man, like the number of stupid World Cup flags I see on cars today, you know, the first day of the World Cup, compared to where we are in terms of like lawmaking, basically everywhere except the United States at this point, it's infuriating. People are going to drag our once great and once free civilization into complete tyranny with a blindfold on. They're going to do it happily while they stuff their face with MSG loaded foods and play video games and watch Netflix. It's absolutely mental that this is going on. The safeguards that are in place right now are so sort of lame and tame in a lot of ways. You can search for basically anything. I use Claude for tons of different research, and it finds stuff that honestly I wouldn't have found and helps me draw conclusions that I feel like are maybe true, but I don't have the data necessarily at my fingertips. And obviously, like, we do a lot of podcasts. So when I'm looking through stories, like, yeah, I don't have time to look at 10 stories or 15 stories for our show Monday, then another 10 or 15 for the BitCast show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then this letter, we have to go through the stories and see which one is the best for YouTube and do research on that and all the companies, and all the people, all the players. That takes time. But what it's helped for me is be able to sometimes research unpopular theses and say, yeah, this is actually good, or no, this is actually not good. Here's why, or here's why not. If you can't look up unpopular stuff and then share unpopular stuff, talk about unpopular stuff, and anytime you do, you get tagged for a KYC, like a shotgun KYC, what is the point of any of this? What is the point? You're better off going to the encyclopedias on your shelf than you are going to Claude or Canada AI, Evan Solomon AI, or Anthony Albanese AI in Australia, whatever these guys think they're doing. All the while, society is starting to, at the same time the governments are really trying to get a hold of what you're allowed to search for, say, and share, everyone's starting to wake up to there's a problem here, and we all think it's the same problem. You can't tell me this stuff isn't related. You just can't. And I don't buy for a second that this has anything to do with significant exploits. There's not been any exploits patched on by Apple or Microsoft, any 0 days, any Mythos related stuff. There's been no news releases. All I keep seeing is this guy's stupid face, Amadei. Oh, we have to get this. It's so dangerous. We have to make sure that we're protecting people who are using it, protecting industries, protecting government. Like, just shut up. Shut up. You're like every other moron trying to pull up the ladder behind you and scare people into letting it happen. You're no better than Liz Warren or these other types who think everyone needs quote unquote protection. And so we have to live in the Stone Age, not be allowed to say the things we know are true, research the things we know are problems. This is incredibly frustrating to me. And it just pairs so well with the other stuff we've talked about on the show over the last 3 months for sure, but maybe even longer than that. Stuff we talked about on Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, stuff we talked about on BitCast. Everyone sees that there are problems. And here we are now. Well, you can't search for that. In fact, I don't know why you would search for that. Can we have your name? Oh, we can't. Okay, well, then you're off the platform. Boy, oh boy. You know, it's a brave new world, man. Things are changing. And I don't think people are just not ready. They are not ready for this at all. Not even one bit.
So when you use Claude, your user, you signed up.
Oh, yeah.
Did you use a burner email or use an email that's tied to you somehow?
I'm not saying.
When you pay for it, are you using a credit card that's tied to you?
Or I'm not saying.
So you know what I mean? Like the KYC I think a lot of people are already KYC'd for just those reasons.
For sure. For sure.
So going this extra step, I know it's egregious and it's stuff we should be upset, but let's be honest, people don't have the best privacy practices. And agreed. I'm sure they signed up with a regular email and they're using their regular credit card that they didn't buy from BitRefill. So is it bad? Yeah. But who's to blame here? I think everybody's all to blame here. Like, not just Claude.
That's fair. Fair criticism, Len. Yeah, it's fair criticism.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to hold up my arm and say that it sucks. It does.
But yeah.
You know what?
And then, of course, the other piece of the pie is that, you know, you're not able to actually use the newest model anymore. You're stuck on the old model because no one's going to pay. You way undershot the cost there, by the way. Like, the average user for that million output tokens, like, you're talking like a token in, by most measurements, I think this is true for any model, but the last research I did on this is that, like, a colon and semicolon represents two tokens. A letter is one token. So you're talking like significant. Wow. Yeah. So you're talking like significant numbers of tokens being spit out for something like a CBP research package. Okay. It spits out a research package. I sent you the package before. It's like 15 pages, talks about some stuff that it thinks like we would like, because it has our
well, that's gonna be thousands upon thousands of tokens.
It's a lot of money. And the problem is that Anthropic, I think, and this is probably the case for a lot of these AI companies, is basically saying, we can't make the economics work unless we're the only game in town. And so they're all trying to become the only game in town, period. I mean, I don't see what other strategy there could be. The compute thing, the shortage, like, has obviously been a problem for them. They bought some stuff off of Elon, but this is all, it's all happening at the same time. And it's, I think it's the most frustrating thing is when you ask people about what they use AI for. Like my mom, God bless her, just sent me a picture of my daughter. She like enhanced with AI. And it's just like, you, like, I love that you're using it, but God damn it, woman. Like there's so much stuff going on now in this this area of the world, this discipline between governments and users and companies. And this is not to say anything of the data tracking. God knows where that data is going. You know, the things you type in there, the things you search, the skills. Don't forget, like Claude, not only do you have like probably unpopular searches, but I for sure have instructions in the skill execution that would 100% land me in some hot water because I need it to do specific things when I ask it for an action. I don't want it to guess. I want it to be specific. That's what makes these things valuable. And so if you can't even do that, like, you know, it's not valuable to me whether I use the fake, whether I'm signed up there as you know, Joe Schmo or with my real name, it doesn't matter because it's not going to be able to execute at a high level anyways. And then that's to say nothing of places like Canada and the other Five Eyes nations, which, for, you know, even though they share that name, are not seeing things clearly at all, or maybe they are, depending on what you think their intentions are. These guys are coming up with their own AI platforms. What are we talking about?
Maybe time. Just
is it possible that Grok ends up being the only reasonable platform to use?
Why is Grok?
Because he's the only guy who doesn't seem interested in censoring. Elon doesn't seem interested in censoring anyone. You can say anything on Twitter anytime to anybody and not have a problem with the platform, for sure.
I can't think of anything specific off the top of my head right now, but people have pointed out there's been some censorship problems. People
don't buy that. People post all kinds of shit like that. I don't buy it. I see the stuff that makes it through the filter. Like there's no way the stuff that makes it through the filter, specifically on the recent current events, there's no way that stuff makes it through. And then people are saying, oh, I got banned for calling somebody a fairy or something like that. Someone tweeted me today. No, you didn't. There's got to be something else there. You're not telling me. There's no way.
Again, if that's the case, then it isn't the free and wild west. They are still censoring.
Yeah, if that is the case.
Right. So who knows?
At least I can look up crime statistics on Grok or look up like, you know, how much has my insurance gone up since 2015? What is my purchasing power declined by? Meanwhile, in Canada, not to make this a Canadian-centric show, but man, like we're moving faster than any other country on this now that Carney's there. There's laws coming in against socially destabilizing content being shared or available. What is that?
You know what? It's time to transition to do the mudding of footballs. It's benign. You're not going to piss off anybody except for people that wanted either more or less mudded, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in terms of the higher up, you know, you fly under the radar and that's how you should do things.
I'll see you in the gulags, buddy, for sure.
I'm not going. I'll be long gone.
Sharing a cell.
Screw you, man.
That's it. We're out of here for tonight. Thanks for watching. If you're on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel. Every week there's a video like this. Short, sweet, to the point, and always some valuable data and insight. Accessofeasy.com for more on the letter. Bombthrower.com for more from Mark. Ready.ca. If you are a Canadian and are worried about what the next 5 years will look like and want to meet people who are well-equipped, financially endowed, high agency, and looking for community, this is the place for you. Until next time, friends. Take care of yourself.
Take care.